Are you tired of listening to German language all day long?
Don't you just want to get your news and topics presented in English, even though you live in Germany?
Then here's your solution.
Yeah!
Elephant in the Room, an English radio show where we discuss things that people tend to ignore.
Tune in on Color Radio on 99.3 and 98.4. Every second and fourth Monday of the month.
Elephant in the Room, a radio show by the Black Rose Radio Collective from Dresden.
Hate Mondays. Be organized. Stay cool.
Call out for an international week for anarchist prisoners. In summer 2013, members of several ABC groups discussed the necessity of introducing an international day for anarchist prisoners. Given there are already established dates for Political Prisoners' Rights Day or Prison Justice Day, we found it important to emphasize the stories of our comrades as well. Many imprisoned anarchists will never be acknowledged as political prisoners by formal human rights organizations, because their sense of social justice is strictly limited to the capitalist laws which are designed to defend the state and prevent any real social change. At the same time, even within our individual communities, we know so little about the repression that exists in other countries, to say nothing of the names and cases involving many of our incarcerated comrades. This is why we have decided to introduce an annual week for anarchist prisoners on August 23rd till August 30th. We chose August 23rd as a starting point, because on that very day in 1927, Italian-American anarchists, Sacco and Vanzetti, were executed in prison. They were convicted of murdering two men during an armed robbery at a shoe factory in South Braintree, Massachusetts, United States. Their arrest was a part of a bigger anti-radical campaign led by the American government. The state's evidence against the two was almost totally non-existent, and many people still today believe that they were punished for their strong anarchist beliefs. Given the nature and diversity of anarchist groups around the globe, we have proposed a week of common action rather than a single campaign on a specific day, making it easier for groups to be able to organize an event within a longer target period. Therefore, we call on everyone to spread the information about the week for anarchist prisoners among other groups and communities, and think about organizing events in your city or town. The events can vary from info evenings, screenings and benefit concerts to solidarity and direct actions. Let your imagination run free. Check out the flyers in different languages, and please send reports of your activities to tillallarefree@riseup.net.
From the window I see the mountains, they roll like tidal waves across the horizon. The rain cascades down like lava, it consumes everything on its journey to the bottom. From the window I hear the aching groaning wind, it forces its way through the cracks onto my skin. I long to climb out, to be swept up in its wrath, but I can't break through the bars that keep me in. There's nothing I want more than to sleep under the night sky, hear the animals as they go about their lives, feel the fire warm my body, feel the mud under my toes. But tonight this cell keeps me in close. The trees form a secret green embrace, their arms beckoning to swallow me whole. I want to climb over these rooftops and over these fences and escape to the places none of these gods would go. 'Cause there's nothing I won't know but to sleep under the night sky, hear the animals as they go about their lives. Feel the fire warm my body, feel the mud under my toes, but tonight this cell keeps me enclosed. Prepare myself for the future, when instead of 1 month I could be here for years. Would I lose hope? Would I take my life? Or would we find a way to break ourselves out of here? 'Cause there's nothing I want more than to sleep under the night sky, the animals as they go about their lives. Feel the fire warm my body, feel the mud under my toes, but tonight this hell keeps me enclosed. For if we don't have our freedom, if we are captured by their iron hands, then the vision for fire, it burns so much more bright. There's no justice in the system, a bigger cage is still a prison. Well, I hope that somewhere someone breaks free tonight.
Hello to our show in September here by Elephant in the Room. Our topic for this month is the International Week of Solidarity with Anarchist Prisoners. You already heard a short introduction about what this week is about, and of course a lot of you already know about it because it's already the 8th year that this awesome Solidarity Week is happening. We have for you today 2 interviews recorded, one with Nicole from England and the other one with Mikola from Belarus, to give you a kind of an idea why this kind of week is so important, why solidarity is so important. We talked with both of them how solidarity worked out for them, which kind of solidarity they eventually got in prison. Prison is a place where people are to get punished for something which is not in the rule set, or people behave not in the frame of the law. And especially anarchist prisoners who are fighting against the system, who are fighting against capitalism, who are fighting against social injustice, are ending up in prisons for the actions they are doing. And the prison has the task eventually to break people. And how is this going to work? This is going to work because people are going to be isolated. People are isolated from their families, from their friends, from the social surrounding, from life in general, from easy things like walking on the grass with the bare foot, going to the ice cream shop whenever I feel like, going to the cinema and watch a movie even I'm not maybe even interested in, or even also do some reasonable work I would like to. And apart from this isolation, which can inside the prison even get pushed more in a way that you can also be punished inside the prison and isolated from other prisoners. Apart from the isolation, also a really strong kind of mean to break the people are the rules inside the prison. So you have a certain regularity,
everything is kind of tacted in a way. Like when you have breakfast, when you have dinner, when you have lunch, when you're going to work, when you're going to bed, when you have the possibility to go outside, when you have to wash yourself. Like every single step you're doing during the day is regulated by a clear plan of the prison authorities. And there's not much space at all where you actually can decide how you're going to do things. So this kind of really strict rule set, which is applied on you, which kind of pushes you to be obedient and to follow stupid small regulations, which are kind of stressing out people the whole day. This is what makes you really, this is what makes people really feel fucked up in the prison. On top of that, you have no healthy food at all, no health support, no possibility to keep yourself healthy. And also the other fact is that most of the people who are actually getting in prison are already suffering from health issues. So this is because the prison system is based on structural discrimination, means that people who are poor, people who are facing racism, people who are facing sexism, people who are facing certain discriminations, forms of discriminations, are ending up in prison. And a lot of these people already are in the society facing less possibilities inside of the society, already bringing a lot of health problems mentally, physically with themselves into the prison. And then, of course, with this condition I described before, this kind of whole health state is not getting better rather than worse. On top of that, the discrimination people are facing outside of the prison is maintained inside of the prison. People are facing violence, sexual violence. And you also should keep in mind that the prison society is often really hierarchical and reproduces the same pattern of violence and the way of communication and oppression as we are facing it on the outside of the prison. So this is just a place where everything gets more intense. And this is eventually shaping the life of the people inside.
I know I owe you a lot. You gave me birth. You fed me. You grew me up. You even loved me. You threw me out into a world where you were forced to leave me somewhere each day to run off to your job. You took me to school, and since you weren't around, you sent me to a bunch of tutors instead, planting seeds of anxiety around my uncertain future. Since my future was so uncertain, since you've made this planet such a dangerous place to exist, why did you bring me to this world then? What exactly is my life? 2 hours of television and video games a day? I want to know the world, to open my wings and fly, see everything in just a brief moment. I want to go out and meet others, to play and have fun, to feel happy and not care whether tomorrow I'll go to school without my homework done. I want to dream of a world where no one will be looking for a place to park me, where people won't always have to work, where it won't feel dangerous to meet others, where the future won't frighten me, where there will be no masters nor slaves. I've seen your misery, but I haven't gotten used to it. I won't bow my head just because you did. I don't want to be the slave or the boss of anyone. I'm not afraid of these watchdogs in uniform that you're so scared of. You see order and security in them. I know that order is hypocrisy. And as for public safety, they themselves are the biggest danger. They're symbols of power, of your own, the teachers and the politicians. You're the ones who learn to live like this, not me. I am angry and dangerous. We are many, we are everywhere. We'll rise up, mess and destruction will be the result. I love you. In my own way, I do love you. But I have to build my own world in order to live freely. And for that, I must destroy yours. It's the most important thing for me. In your words, this is my job.
seductive sign of power.
We all love it to possess
us. Until I see your ability to try and guess. Now stop all these fucking experts, masters, and authority. Stealing your life away from you. How stupid you should be. All these vertical power structures which will have to bend and break. Burn their foundations to the ground. Break them off inside you and me.
Today we have Nikolai Dzidok, an former anarchist prisoner from Belarus, who is currently a blogger and political analyst doing his work in Belarus, in the country itself. Hello, Nikolai.
Hi.
The first thing to ask for our listeners to understand what happened to you back then is actually, why did you end up in prison in 2010?
So, in the end of the 2010, I was the member of the Revolutionary Anarchist Group, which was pretty active in Belarus, doing propaganda, trying to do some revolutionary organization work, popularizing anarchist ideas in Belarus, and our group was accused soon in the end of 2010. Our group was accused in the number of direct actions made in the name of the anarchist movement. So my arrest and the arrest of our comrades happened at September 3rd of 2010, after a few days after the arson set on the Russian embassy in Minsk. Basically, this arson was the one of the last direct actions made from the behalf made in the name of the anarchist movement in Belarus in this period. I was charged by three episodes of these direct actions. Most of them were just mostly symbolic direct actions, but the sentence I have got was not symbolic at all. It was 4.5 years. And later on, 4 months before my supposed release, the administration of prison, being ordered by the KGB, had started the new criminal case against me and charged me with a non-systemic, non-obedience to the administration of prison. And we have the certain article in the Criminal Code of Belarus, article number 411, which allows to prolong your prison sentence as long as, theoretically, as long as the prison officers, the correctional officers want. And I was sentenced to one more additional year in 2015. So totally, I have served 5 year sentence. Why not 5 year and a half? How I supposed to, because of the pressure of the European Union and the Western politicians, Lukashenko have released all the political prisoners, me and my comrade Igor Alinevich and 4 other political prisoners, among whom a former candidate for presidency, Mykola Statkevich. And we all were released at August 22 of 2015. That's my story, shortly.
All right. And back in the prison, what was your experience with other prisoners? Is there solidarity between different types of prisoners? Did you get some support from the people who are inside? Or was it like everybody is for themselves?
Basically, the experience was pretty various. But mostly, I should say that the attitudes towards political prisoners from the other prisoners vary from neutral to positive. I have only encountered negative attitudes towards myself, negative attitudes towards political prisoners only from the prisoners who were directly ruled and somehow inspired by cops, by the correctional officers. So basically, I would use word cops speaking about the correctional officers, because in Belarus, it's usually how we name them, because they are the part of the Ministry of Internal Affairs also. They are not the separate institution, so we call prisoner officers, guards, we call them cops. It's more usual for us. So I have only encountered bad stance to myself from the prisoners who were snitches, who were working for the prison operatives, for the cops, and who were deliberately ordered by the cops to provoke, to somehow create conflicts, to harass somehow me and the other political prisoners. But I have also, but much more, in much more cases during my 5-year sentence, I have met a pretty good attitude and stance and even solidarity from the absolutely non-political prisoners, from the common prisoners like thieves or robbers or murderers, who were looking at me and the guy at the person who was suffering for something, for some higher ideals, for some good ideas, who are fighting against the regime. Basically, all the prisoners in prison, they hate the regime, they hate Lukashenko, they hate the state. And this stance was pretty good, and sometimes it expressed itself in a forms of different solidarity, like quarreling with the cops, helping me with some food, because food is really in a deficit in a prison, and many other, or just moral psychological support, which is also important. So yeah, I really met lots of solidarity from the regular prisoners who, because of my status of the political prisoner, of the fighter against the regime.
Through those 5 years, did you receive any solidarity from outside, from anarchists and other political groups?
I was receiving solidarity in multiple forms. First of all, it was financial material support from the comrades, from both Anarchist Black Cross Belarus and from abroad, because me and our and other comrades, we were not acknowledged as political prisoners by the Belarusian human rights defenders up to November of 2011. And during all this time, we needed some kind of lawyer, judicial support by the lawyer. We needed the visits of lawyer. We needed the food parcels, the money for prison shop, and so on. And our comrades from Anarchist Black Cross, both from Belarus and from Russia, they provided this support. Also, I know that lots of support, lots of money was crowdfunded from the comrades from all over the Europe. But not only the financial support was important, of course, I was receiving multiple letters and postcards of solidarity from all over the world, and it was extremely important, because repressive system was what repressive system wants to do is to isolate you, to show you that your struggle is senseless, that you're alone. And of course, when you are kept in the closed facility with people whose values and beliefs are totally different from yours, thieves, burglars, murderers, who were living their lives in a way totally different from yours, and they do not share your values and beliefs, of course, it's easy, really easy for you to feel isolated. And cops really do as much as they can for you to support this feeling, to support this feeling in you. But When you receive so much postcards, as I, for example, received so much, sometimes I received 20 letters a day. It is my record. Sometimes, but usually I was receiving from 1 to 5 letters a day. And of course, when you receive so much information from other comrades, when you feel that really hundreds or even thousands of people think about you, they feel that you feel that you is important for them, that they care about how comfortable you feel yourself, how is your health, how is your psychological stance. When you know that they think about how to make your life easier and so on and so forth, of course it makes you feel not so as isolated, and makes you believe that you're not alone, and that you should continue your struggle, continue your disobedience, and you need to keep your beliefs and continue struggle anyhow. Would you like to give some advices to the people who are thinking about showing their solidarity with prisoners? Which forms might be better than the others? Well, first of all, the most important form is to continue their struggle, to continue the revolutionary activity which your comrades conducted. And it's the best form of solidarity, and it's also most useful in a long-term perspective. The other one is to tell as much as you can to the other people, to people who are interested in politics, to even those who are not such interested, that there is a political repression in your country. There are political prisoners. There are people who are suffering for their beliefs. Because we, the anarchists, we really live mostly in our bubble, where only we know what happens, where only we know what is important and what is not, and so on and so forth. But we need to engage as more people as possible to our perspective, to our agenda, and to tell people about what is going on in prisons, and that someone right now, when you're in comfortable sitting in your comfortable chair, right now someone is suffering for their beliefs. Of course, the financial form of support is crucially important, because in prison you're deprived from your basic needs. You can't eat the food you are used to. Some people smoke and they cannot smoke, or then have to smoke very cheap cigarettes, which is also not so good and so comfortable for those who smoke. They need, of course, the visits of the lawyer. For Belarus, it's really the one possible non-censored channel of the communication with the comrades, the lawyer. And, of course, letters and letters once again. Now, outside of jail, are you supporting other anarchists in prison? Yes, of course I do. First of all, as a blogger, as a political analyst, I do speak about their cases, do speak about anarchist political prisoners. But by the way, here in Belarus, we have not only anarchist political prisoners. Currently, when we are doing this interview, we have 25 political prisoners with criminal charges in Belarusian prisons, most of whom are bloggers and political activists. And I speak all the time about that. I remind people about that using all my media resources. And I write letters to some of them and trying to support them that way.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we have Nicole Rose, an anarchist author and organizer from England, in our studio. She spent some years in prison in the past, and we are going to talk about her experience. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining our awesome show. So, Nicole, you spent several years in jail in, I don't remember which year. What was the reason, actually, that you ended up there?
So I got a 3.5 year sentence, reduced from 5.5 years back in 2009 and 2010. And it was part of a case, and the charge was conspiracy to blackmail. So the British government did a kind of big operation against the animal liberation movement and a very active campaign at the time called Stop Huntingdon Animal Cruelty, which was trying to close down Europe's largest animal testing company that kills over 100,000 animals every year. Yeah, the campaign had been going on for a long time and was really effective in destroying this company and affecting like the wider kind of pharmaceutical industry. And the British state invested £2.5 million in trying to stop us, and eventually 12 of us were in prison. But yeah, that's the kind of synopsis.
And while in prison, what was your experience with the other prisoners? I know that in some countries there are different ways that people are supporting or not supporting prisoners, depending on their politics, depending on their background. What was your experience?
So I got on with everyone inside. I was in a women's prison, and I guess for me, being from like a working class background, it wasn't like much of a culture shock, to be honest. And I had a lot of affinity and lots of stuff in common with people inside. And I built some really, really strong relationships, strong friendships in prison. I thought the women that were there were like mostly amazing people that had been through incredibly traumatic experiences, whether that was growing up in poverty or child abuse, sexual abuse, rape, domestic violence. And I think most people inside were kind of like fucked up from that stuff, but were also still quite caring and compassionate to each other. There was like a lot of kind of mutual aid and people supporting each other. You know, obviously there was also like harm and violence and like fights and horrible power dynamics, but I think overall my impression was one where people had each other's back, and there was like a culture of care.
And through those 3.5 years that you spent inside, did you get any solidarity from outside, from anarchists, other political groups who were sending you letters or visiting you and so on and so forth?
Yeah, so it was, I think the whole experience of repression, like more broadly, was really interesting for me because like before prison, there wasn't really like any organized solidarity. So after I was arrested, like, no one picked me up from the police station. Only one person called to see if I was okay, which was Heather, who eventually got 11 years. And the movement at the time, like, did a really terrible job of supporting anyone. So, like, you know, I lost the house I was living in. Like, me and my partner were basically homeless, and we had to move in with his mum at the time. We really struggled financially, and we'd just seen like three friends get 12 years in prison for the same charge, this conspiracy to blackmail. So we were really expecting a long time inside and didn't really have anyone to talk to about it, didn't have any kind of help with our costs. And so it was quite kind of traumatic and isolating, not having that solidarity. But once we were in prison, the kind of movement support like kicked in. So there's two groups in the UK, the Animal Liberation Front Supporters Group and the Vegan Prisoners Supporters Group, and they were just like absolutely amazing. The VPSG, the vegan one, they helped to get food for us and kind of lobby the prison to ensure that we had our kind of needs met. And the ALF Supporters Group sent us money every month. And yeah, like shared our addresses and our details around the world. And it was like a place where we could write like political texts, for example, and they could be read by people. It wasn't like a full-on dedicated support group in the sense of like emotional support, but politically it was really great. And I also had a lot of support from people within the kind of anarchist Black Cross network. So folks from Bristol ABC were like especially amazing at writing to me regularly, and other ABC groups around the world wrote to me. I think it was different for me because I was like publicly listed as an anarchist prisoner, and I think other people in my case weren't, and so I had a bit of a broader supporter base in terms of posts. Like, it wasn't just old women writing about their cats, which was great, you know, like everyone loves to see cat pictures, but it was also nice to hear from like comrades and people around the world that yeah, that were supporting us. And to be honest, I don't know how I would have got through that time without it.
Yeah, that would be also interesting for me. What was the, let's say, emotional or social effect of the solidarity on you? How important was it in your, well, in your experience through the prison?
I mean, I think at least in the animal liberation movement or within the kind of anarchist kind of movement or subculture in the UK, like, it's very, very macho. There isn't this space to talk about feelings. Everyone is kind of making these jokes like, oh, prison is a holiday camp, I can do it standing on my head, and all this kind of bullshit. And like, no one quite acknowledges the repercussions of like literally living in a little cage and getting locked in every day and being separated from people you love and land that you love and having like male officers like scream at you all day. And I think like it is like prison is a bit different if you've come from like a childhood where you've had to interact with a lot of abusive men, for example. Then being in prison is like very triggering and difficult because, again, you're like surrounded by men with lots of power over you, and that can become like sexualized violence. So women who I met in prison like had like sexual interactions with officers, and actually I think 4 prison officers got sacked from the prison where I was, like after I left, for kind of sexual abuse of women. So like that was quite a real threat that you were self-conscious of. But yeah, so I think unfortunately with prisoner support, like a lot of the emotional support of people inside often falls on like partners or lovers of prisoners or very close friends. And I had a girlfriend at a time, and she was like, I guess, my main support for about a year of my sentence before we broke up. And so she would be the person that I would call or the person who I would talk to on my visits. But yeah, I think it's like a big issue in prisoner support in general, that it's often like feminized labor that's like, and feminized people that are doing that kind of caring emotional work, talking about feelings and like supporting people survive experiences. But again, like through letter writing and through people writing to me, like we could build relationships, and it meant that I could start to talk to people a little bit more honestly about how prison was. And that was like very empowering and moving, you know, that someone that's a complete stranger who's just written to you at some letter writing night over, you know, over time could become like a really close friend who you might see when you get out. And that's like really, really special.
And you mentioned that the, well, let's say the anarchist movement was not really prepared or was not really somehow aware of what repressions are back then in 2009, 2010 when you were arrested. Did it change Somehow, did this experience got included inside the political movement, and did it get better for the people who are right now entering the prison in UK?
So I think for us and our particular case, it was a bit unique because the animal liberation movement is quite isolated, and that's often because people have like problematic single issue politics, and because they're not involved in like wider networks of struggle. And so when the repression hit, like there wasn't really solidarity from other movements. And I think because of the nature of the campaign, like not everyone is supportive of like Animal Liberation Front actions. And I think because the campaign was like incredibly militant and involved like a lot of criminal damage and a lot of nighttime actions, like I think more like liberal people in other movements like weren't supportive of us. And that's like really fucking shit, right? That we have this like conditional solidarity. But yeah, I think for like other movements, for example, when anti-fascists have gone to prison, like there has been a lot more support. So I think our case was just like quite specific. But obviously like most people going to prison in England and Wales aren't there for like kind of politicized actions. You know, they're there for political reasons like racism or other issues, but they're not kind of like there for their kind of anarchist organizing, if that makes sense. And so I think like the British government is very strategic about repression here. So, you know, they often don't send people to prison, kind of more like liberal environmentalists, because they don't want people to become like martyrs and stuff. So they're very, yeah, they're very like, I don't know, not kind, but like they're strategic with how they treat different groups of people and the resistance that they engage with, if that makes sense. But yeah, but I think the broader movement now in the UK is like a lot stronger in terms of prisoner support. There's a lot more like autonomous projects supporting prisoners of all kinds. And there's a lot more of a kind of bigger like prison abolition movement, and people like focused on resisting prison expansion and supporting people with these IPP sentences, which are like a kind of indeterminate sentence here, and supporting trans prisoners. And like, I think, yeah, there's like a growing movement of people that are like recognizing the kind of revolutionary importance of like prisoner struggle and resisting like incarceration in different ways.
So in the context of the Week of Solidarity with the anarchist prisoners, which advices would you give to the people to show their solidarity with the prisoners, with the people under repressions right now?
Good question. I'm obviously like very supportive of a diversity of tactics, and I wouldn't want to like, you know, like publicly encourage anyone to do anything illegal, obviously. but I think, like, I think there's like so many different layers to prisoner support. So it might be in the week that you want to show like material solidarity. So maybe you're fundraising, because like the costs of prisoner support are really huge. Like people have to spend money every week on phone credit or extra food or sanitary towels or whatever. Like, you know, people need to have financial support so they can visit their friends and family and comrades in prison. Maybe people have legal fees. So like, you know, like I think this like fundraising is really powerful. I think solidarity actions are like super powerful. So, you know, like you might be a bit tired of doing a picture with a banner and like some smoke, and, you know, and you might think like, you know, it's just another boring banner picture. But like for someone in prison, like that picture probably means just like more than you could ever know. Like I've known prisoners who are literally about to kill themselves, and then they get a particular letter in the post, and then they just think, no, okay, I can keep going, I can keep doing this. And I know for my friends in prison who have regularly tried to kill themselves, like it is literally posts that they receive that makes them decide on a daily basis, like, I'm going to continue living and I'm going to fight for my freedom. So definitely don't underestimate the power of like letters or postcards or pictures of banners and actions. And then obviously, like, it's really worth thinking about how the prison system functions, right, in your society, like, what, you know, which are the companies that are running these prisons, and how are they profiting from prison labor? Like, there's so many different kind of targets around the place that people could, you know, do things at, who are kind of part of this broader prison industrial complex. But yeah, I think, like, obviously with the pandemic, there's like limitations on what people feel safe to do. And I don't want to feed into this culture where like we fetishize like certain actions over others. Like, if you have a chronic illness or you're not able or like safe to leave your house, then like literally writing to a prisoner is such a powerful, effective thing that everyone can do. And if you are able-bodied or you have the ability, then yeah, getting in the streets and doing noise demos at prisons or other actions are like, yeah, they're so powerful for people in prison. Like, you just have no idea unless you've been in prison, like, what that stuff means.
And what would you recommend to the people who are eager to organize themselves in some kind of a solidarity groups, solidarity movement?
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like the options are just endless. Like, I feel like compared to other struggles, prisoner support is often on the shoulders of so few people. And often the people doing it are people that have been affected by imprisonment or have like experiences of repression. And so it can be even more challenging for them to do it. But yeah, I think this work is like the work of a lifetime, right? Like, they've spent hundreds of years developing these systems of power and control and imprisonment, and it's going to take, you know, a long time to tear them down. And so doing like consistent long-term work is so important. So there's, you know, there's different groups in the UK that I can give examples from. But yeah, I think working with people collectively to, you know, address different, you know, different things within the prison system, or to generally make critiques of the prison system in general and like build a stronger kind of anarchist movement that can work towards liberation, like, it all feels really important.
Nicole, thanks a lot for this interview. I know that you also have a website and a way that the people can contact you. Can you tell it to us?
Sure. So my website is the solidarityapothecary.org. So yeah, just a shameless plug. One of the only benefits from my sentence was that I learned about herbs. I got a job working in a prison gardens, and I mean, I say gardens, it was like little triangular patches of grass in courtyards, but it meant that I started to like build relationships with plants. And so yeah, I wrote a book called The Prisoner's Herbal, which is about using plants and kind of herbal medicine in prison, based on my experiences. And I send it to people in prison for free. And I fundraise for that by selling books to groups or like individuals on the outside. And yeah, it's like, again, another part of this like ecology of support to people behind the walls.
Okay. Is there something you would like to add that we didn't talk about?
Yeah, so I think for anyone that wants to get involved but isn't sure, like, it could be worth like, well, it's definitely worth joining a collective that already exists. So in the UK, for example, we have various like anarchist Black Cross groups in Bristol, London and Brighton. We also have book projects, groups like Books Beyond Bars, or there's a group called Bent Bars who write to LGBT prisoners. And then, in case people weren't aware, they are doing a massive prison building program in the UK. So this has been happening for several years, but they recently announced they want to build 5 new mega prisons at speed as part of a project called Project Speed to help build the economy post-coronavirus. So there's a group called Community Action on Prison Expansion who, yeah, would really value people's time and energy to help resist those prisons. They've been going since 2014, which is when the government said they wanted to make 10,000 new prison places. And as a result of the campaign and the ongoing pressure, they've only actually managed to create 216 prison places or something in like the last few years. So like it is effective to engage in struggle in that way. And there's also a group called the Prisoner Solidarity Network, who used to be called IWOC, the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee. And they directly support people in prison, including a friend of mine called Kevin Thackra, who, yeah, is in one of the UK's kind of most extreme prisons, called a closed supervision centre. And he always values letters. And just a shameless plug is this, as this week is for anarchist prisoners, one of my best friends in prison, Sam, she was always an anarchist and always anti-authoritarian, but it was only during her sentence that she began to be connected to like the broader anarchist movement. And she really appreciates cards from people. And yeah, she's been struggling with cancer for the last 3 years. She's had two lots of surgery. She's potentially going to need to have more surgery or radiotherapy, and her treatment has been delayed because of the pandemic. Yeah, she really, really, really values cards. She's amazing, lesbian, pagan, punk. Like, feel free to write her anything about the land or animals or music or anarchist movement where you are. She'd love to hear from you. And I'll pass her details on to put them in the on the website.
All information about the Week of Solidarity, actions of the last years, and what's going on this year, you can find on international.solidarity, pretty easy website to keep in mind. So people, let's get organized and do some solidarity action. Don't forget our comrades in the prisons, and we will see each other on the barricades.
We say goodbye at the beginning of the night, when the rest of this little town will turn off their bedroom lights. We say goodbye before we hit the road, because the paths we take are not the ones that everybody knows. We say goodbye with this fear in our hearts about the people who will do their best to tear our worlds apart. We say goodbye, not knowing the next time we will meet. And if there's a chance that we will be alive, 'cause we don't know how far they will go with us this time. So let's tell each other that we love them whenever we can. Let's keep each other as safe as we possibly can. Be careful, keep quiet, most important of all. Don't push the ones you love far enough for them to fall. 'Cause when we fall, we can't stick together. We have to stick together. We have treasures, we have our plans, but they can never be measured by the ways of consequence. 'Cause we can't be sure how fucked up the state decides to react. So we burn notes, encrypt our messages, and find it hard to trust every single person that we are desperate to love. 'Cause those outside our circles are always the enemy to us. And we don't know how far they will go with us this time. So let's tell each other that we love them whenever we can. Let's keep each other safe as we possibly can. Be careful, keep quiet, most important of all. Don't push the ones you love far enough for them to fall. 'Cause when we fall, we can't stick together. We have to stick together.